Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspective.
Hello, Miss Keegan.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Oh, I already told you, I'm just exhausted for some reason.
Me too. I'm so tired. I'm really so tired. And I slept well last night, but it's just, this was one of those days where it was like hit the ground running and then don't stop. And like, I spent my work lunch hour in therapy. So it was just like, there were no breaks today.
I know. I've actually, like, I think I'm so used to having time on my hands. And last night I went to bed and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually going to have like a busy day tomorrow. And I think today is probably the busiest day that I've had in a while. And I definitely have been sleeping better, but I think the animal in our walls is still has affected our sleep enough. It's not bugging us anymore. We think it's gone, but finally we're going to have an exterminator come. But I think that it just fucked up our sleep enough nights that both Max and I are just like zombies today. We're just kind of like, ooh.
Yeah, but, man, I hear
you. And it's gloomy. It's gloomy out today. I don't like it.
It is. It was very hot last weekend. I actually went down to the pool last weekend.
Same.
But this week, it's just been very moderate weather, which is fine, but it's not been sunny at all. It's been very like overcast. And yeah, I'm just tired and ready for the weekend. I'm so ready for the weekend.
I'm really ready for May 8th, the day that I will be fully vaccinated and I can just go out into the world maskless and hug my friends.
they say to keep wearing a mask. But.
Well, I know that. But I mean, like, when I say that, like, I don't even think I can step outside my door right now because literally no one in our building has ever worn a mask. So I don't even step outside my door without a mask on. So for me to be able to just, like, even if I could just have it on me and walk the dogs outside and not feel like I have to have it on all the time just in case somebody comes around the corner, that feels nice to me.
Yes, I hear you. I am fully vaccinated as of today. And I
am
so excited. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. I'm like, the amount of relief I feel about, you know, it just being done and over with. I mean, eventually probably we'll all have to get booster shots. But as of right now, we are in a good spot, and I'm just super happy and relieved about it.
I will take all the shots in the world if it means that I don't have to go back into quarantine. However, do you know the Netflix show The Circle?
Yes, we discussed it briefly.
Okay, I'm highly considering. I already like started my registration. I'm highly considering applying to be on that show. I think I would win.
Do it.
I want to. So I'm like, okay, I never want to be forced into quarantine again, but I would go back into quarantine if it meant I could win $100,000 in The Circle.
Well, and there's an end date. I feel like that's the thing that got us all with the core is like, there was no real end date. It was like, oh, it's only going to be 2 weeks. It's going to be 2 months.
And it was scary the whole time. It was like people are dying and things are like, there was nothing like relaxing about it either where I'm kind of like, you know, if I could be without any electronics for like a month and a half and just talk to people online, I'm like, I think I could do that. I would go a little crazy, but that's what they want.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have a much harder time moving forward because it's like that factor of isolation is not going to hit as hard since people have spent time in quarantine.
It'll
be interesting to see.
I feel like that was kind of the accident of how it got popular the first season because it came out like around the time of quarantine where so when I was watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, they're stuck inside too. It was kind of like a funny thing. But I feel like that's the only time I've ever watched a reality show where I was like, I could be on that and I could do really well and I want to win some money. So,
girl, go for it. I support it.
Look for me season 3 of The Circle, everybody.
I fully support it.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, let's get into it, shall we?
Okay. So let's get into it. We know, of course, that the biggest news this week is the Derek Chauvin verdict. We are not going to be talking about that on this mini episode because we will be devoting our full length to talking about the trial, the verdict, George Floyd, etc. So please look out for that and tune in for the full length episode if you wanted to hear our thoughts on it or if you're disappointed that it's not here in the mini episode. But instead, we are going to touch briefly. I really don't want to spend a lot of time on this just because I can't emotionally, like, this becomes just very difficult and heavy for me. We've had this conversation many times. However, I feel like we would be remiss not to at least bring it up. And that is, while the entire world was rejoicing about the guilty Derek Chauvin verdict, there was another shooting of a black teenager in Columbus, Ohio. Her name was Makia Bryant. And, you know, it just really underscored a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about in the full-length episode, in that what happened is what needed to happen. Derek Chauvin needed to be found guilty because he bold-faced murdered a man in broad daylight in front of everybody's eyes. That's what needed to happen. That was, we held him accountable for his actions, but it in no way should give us any kind of permission to feel like we can kick back now, or like things are okay now and we can just move on, because these things are going to continue to happen unless there is widespread police reform. Like, that's it. Because listen, I, for reasons we've discussed many times, did not watch the body camera video that was released on Wednesday showing the officer's point of view when he pulled his weapon on Makia. I did not watch that video. I have heard that, you know, she may have had a weapon, right? And I understand that that is a scary situation for everybody involved in that situation. However, police officers should be held accountable. They should be made to feel as though their first priority is de-escalating any situation that they come in into. And from what I've seen, from what I've read, that was not the case here. In fact, the officer did not even announce or give warning or instructions.
No, it was incredibly fast. It was so much like the Adam Toledo video that we saw last week. It was very, very fast. And I do want to say, before we talk more about it, because I think that a lot of trolls on the internet and a lot of other people have been bringing up the fact that she may or may not have had some sort of weapon on her. From what I understand of the situation, it sounds like she was living in a foster home.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't specify whether she was part of this, but from what I understood, it sounded like other girls were fighting. So I don't know if she was, because I heard that she was the one that called the cops. So I don't know about how she may have ended up with a weapon in her hand, but I'm also considering the fact that this is a 16-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to if I put myself in the position where I am in a physical altercation with other people before the cops even got there, grabbing something to defend myself would maybe make sense. The fact that she was holding a weapon doesn't mean that you should use deadly force on her. And something that I think was spoken about a lot during Derek Chauvin's trial was using the same amount of force that is being given to you.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, seeing a 16-year-old child with some sort of alleged knife, we don't know exactly all the details of everything mm-hmm. yet, that to me does not constitute you pulling your gun out. I'm not a cop. I haven't been through any of that training, but I feel like I've also like seen enough, I don't know, action movies or things where I feel like there's got to be a way. There has to be a way. I know there is a way to get a knife out of someone's hand to de-escalate a fight without it right. having to end in death. Especially, this is a 16-year-old girl. You cannot give me this excuse of being scared or anything else. And it happened so fast.
Well,
and
I think I think the officer would probably say that he was acting in defense of somebody else's life, that it wasn't himself who was in danger, that it was the other person involved in this altercation. Because at the moment, all we know is that the person who called 911 was a girl or a female voice. And that's what we know. So okay. We don't know for sure whether or not she was the caller.
Well, however, and that's the other thing is that this just happened. And I'm amazed that we even got body camera footage as fast as we did. I mean, that's unprecedented. So that's the other thing that I think we do need to remember is that we don't have all the information yet about all of those details. And I think it's really easy for people to want to make really negative assumptions to be able to like justify her death. And that's really ugly.
Well, that's exactly it. Listen, like, I understand that there are going to be situations in which difficult calls need to be made in these situations. However, more often than not, we are far less willing to give police any kind of benefit of the doubt in these situations because far too often we have watched you on camera. We have watched your first response, your first reaction, your first instinct be to shoot.
Yeah.
And to show up where there is a physical altercation going on between two young women or a couple young women. I don't know how
however
many there
many,
were.
Yeah.
To not announce that you have your weapon drawn, that you're that you are considering shooting, to not say lower your weapon, drop
right.
the knife,
yeah.
any of those things, to not utilize any of these de-escalation tactics
well,
that I
right.
feel like should be put in place.
And also, if you were on your way to a call, you know what the call is. He's aware of what he's walking into. So to me, if I was in that situation, I would hope that he would be mentally preparing himself to go into that situation, not with the intent of having to use deadly force, but thinking about a way to de-escalate the situation rather than immediately going guns a-blazing, literally, into a situation. Because it's not like he doesn't know what the call is for and he's surprised by it being a physical altercation. He knows what he's getting himself into, so he should be preparing for that.
Right. I just feel like the situation could have been avoided. And again, I have not watched the footage. So there is that aspect of it.
Yeah. But again, you don't have to. But I have. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was very short. It was very similar to the Adam Toledo video where there was no opportunity for her or anyone else to do anything because just as soon as it started, it was over.
Yeah, I don't see that. I feel like it's so also adverse to the idea that we have of police in our media and in this country where we and people on Fox News, Tucker Carlson, all these people are going to go out of their way, bend over backwards to try and say that our police are courageous members of society doing a very difficult job. And while I don't doubt that there are aspects of policing that in which difficult decisions need to be made, I don't doubt that that is the case some of the time. To act as though every single police officer existing roaming the streets, especially knowing what we know about their training or lack thereof, to act as though they are all these courageous, selfless,
well,
caring
and you know
individuals.
What? There is a lot of caring and selfless people out there that do a lot of different types of jobs. There are a lot of jobs out there where you have life in your hands. And I think that police officers need to be held up to the same accountability standard as, say, a doctor or a surgeon or anyone else. Because, yes, while a police officer is supposed to be there to be put in those dangerous situations in order to keep, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, to keep peace in the society. Clearly that's not happening. So then if they're not doing their job correctly, they shouldn't be doing it. Just like a doctor shouldn't be doing their job if they're killing patients. You know what I mean? To me, it's not like they're the only courageous people. And I just have, you know, another thing. They chose this job. They chose to do this. And yes, while we can thank them and admire their courage, it's still something that they've chosen to do. So
for
they
some
should,
of them.
For some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully it's something you choose to do. I wouldn't want someone who doesn't want to be a cop to be thrown in there and given that kind of power. But, you know.
Well, I don't want half the people who choose to take that kind of power to have that kind of power. Because I feel
that's
like
a great point.
It draws a lot of people who want to abuse their power. And unfortunately, I mean, we can act like cops are these heroes because we've just been watching Law and Order all our lives.
Right.
Which, look, I love me some Olivia Benson. However, the truth of the matter is I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4 too many videos of police entering into a situation, standing 10 feet away from a 13-year-old, 16-year-old, 12-year-old child, and shoot them without warning. That there's no courage in that.
None.
It doesn't... You didn't even try to de-escalate the situation.
Exactly.
I'm absolutely certain in this case that this cop is going to say that he acted in the best interest of another person's life, that he was trying to keep somebody else safe. But the truth of the matter is, you should have some kind of troubleshooting, problem-solving something going through your brain, and you should not be taught or trained
to have that be your first response. Yeah.
And ask questions later. Like, a 16-year-old lost her life. It's a tragedy no matter what happened. You know, so I do want to just give some resources really quickly on ways to demand police accountability for Makia Bryant. I will send these to Madigan to put in the show notes for this episode. But you can call the interim police chief, Michael Woods. His office number is 614-645-4720, and the office hours are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can call the Columbus City Council. Their contact info is 614-654-7380. You can also call Mayor Andrew Ginther demanding police accountability at 614-645-7671, or you can email at 311@columbus.gov. So again, I will make sure that those are in the show notes, but I just wanted to go ahead and put those out there, because no matter what happened here, we have to be holding our police to a higher standard, and we have to be holding them accountable for for things like this happening.
If anything, that juxtaposition between the extreme happiness and the extreme feeling of here we go again should be a wake-up call for enough of us to realize that we are clearly not done. So I know there was something else that you wanted to chat about. What is that?
Okay, so there was just a report put out, and this is from CNN, that says U.S. Capitol Police, U.S. Capitol Police officer allegedly told units to only monitor for anti-Trump protesters on January 6th. Yes, a U.S. Capitol Police officer directed all outside units on the morning of January 6th to only monitor for anti-Trump agitators who, quote, want to start a fight, not any pro-Trump in the crowd. So these are findings from a newly revealed internal investigation. So Representative Zoe Lofgren described the radio broadcast, the existence of which was previously unknown, to a House Administrative Committee on security failures around the January 6th attack. In the transmission, you can hear an officer say, quote, attention all units on the field. We're not looking for any pro-Trump in the crowd. We're only looking for any anti-Trump who want to start a fight. So they deny...
That's fishy as fuck to me.
Right. I mean, and the Capitol Police are saying that it has been misquoted and taken out of context. They put out a statement saying, quote, the radio call does not mean USCP was only looking out for anti-Trump counter-protesters. The next radio transmission requests that officers be on the lookout for pro-Trump protesters carrying a pro-Trump protester carrying a possible weapon. However,
a Trump
one
protester.
Singular specific. Yeah. And they also did not provide a transcript of the subsequent broadcast. So we don't have proof that that's something that happened.
That, to me, doesn't satisfy... That doesn't satisfy me, that response at all. Because to be so specific in the first one, to me, means that they meant to be so specific, because then why would you just go off listing the different types of protesters that were there? Because there was probably a lot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, most of them are considered to be pro-Trump, but, you know, there are all these little offshoot sections. To be so specific about saying, no, we're only looking for anti-Trump protesters, it's pretty clear that that's what you meant, and that alone.
Right, right. Where did that come from? And, you know, Lofgren also said and has pointed out many times that there was a lot of available intelligence at the time that gave USCP, the Capitol Police officers, ample reason to expect violence from pro-Trump protesters.
Well, yes, like, that's
lots
what
of things online.
That was what everybody was kind of gearing up toward. I really don't remember them thinking that the left were the ones that were going to come and start a problem.
Exactly.
That was never the issue.
I just want to keep track of when this stuff starts to come out because, you know, there have been 6 U.S. Capitol Police officers that have been suspended with pay for their actions on January 6th, including having taken selfies with some of the insurrectionists. Yeah. And there were 36 officers under investigation from January 6th. 23 of those cases are complete, but 13 of those cases remain under investigation.
Wow.
So it's widespread. It's huge. And that is terrifying. You know,
gosh, more scary cop shit. Stop it. Knock it off. Ugh,
everywhere. I
or
know.
Else I'm literally just going to start calling you pigs again.
No, oh, well,
I mean, I kind of do anyways, but.
The Emmy-nominated HBO original series, A Black Lady Sketch Show, is back. Don't miss an all-new season of your favorite characters on the hilarious sketch comedy series featuring creator Robin Thede, Ashley Nicole Black, Gabrielle Dennis, Lacey Mosley, Skye Townsend, and tons of celebrity guests.
And to get you ready, we are giving away Eden Body Works gift cards to celebrate the premiere. Head to our Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist to learn how you can be entered to win. A Black Lady Sketch Show returns tonight at 11 p.m. on HBO and streaming on HBO Max.
All right. So I wanted to bring this up because, Keegan, you had texted me asking a bit about my opinion on this. And so let's talk about Demi Lovato's beef with a frozen yogurt store in Los Angeles. So
let's do it.
Let's do it. So the store that she went to this past weekend was called The Big Chill, big with two G's. It's in Los Angeles. I actually just looked at the website before we recorded to kind of look at some
of
their
different... Not gonna lie, it looks delicious. It does. Looks... I looked at their Instagram and I was like, that looks really good.
Did you see the pies?
I didn't, but
I was like, that's like no pie I've ever seen, and I would love one of those pies. They look fantastic. And before I go any further, because frozen yogurt is something that actually was discussed a lot when I was in treatment, because especially when I was in day treatment, we had to go out and get our own snacks and come back and kind of like report what we did. There was a lot of talk about, you know, what should be used as far as meal plans go with frozen yogurt. And we talked a lot about kind of the culture behind it too, because frozen yogurt started as being kind of this diet fad.
Yes.
It was ice cream, but it wasn't ice cream, and you could put your fruit in it and that kind of stuff. So with that in mind, I don't typically go to my frozen yogurt places with the same headspace as I would be maybe going into a Cold Stone. You know what I mean? Right. It's just a little bit of a different vibe, right?
Demi Lovato does address that, you know, that for a lot of people who are in recovery, frozen yogurt in general is triggering or can be triggering.
It's just one of those things that's, I feel like you can say triggering or you could just say questionable. Like, I feel like it's one of those things, like, as someone who had been in recovery, I wanted to make sure that if I was going to have that be like my snack on my meal plan, that I was adding chocolate sauce and, you know, enough stuff on it that it was going to be enough to fulfill that meal plan and things like that. So I understand her thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But so here's the thing. So she got on Instagram and she made a post on her story about having to walk past tons of sugar-free cookies and other diet foods before getting to the counter to make the order. And Big Chill did respond pretty much right away. And I think that they had a good response, but I do have an issue with one of the words that they used, and I wanted to point it out. So their response to her post was saying that they offer these foods for people with diabetes, celiac disease, and for vegans, as well as other more quote-unquote indulgent items. Now, I don't like that word. I don't think that you should be classifying one thing as indulgent and one thing as another. I think that vocabulary that we use is the most important thing. And so here's the thing. Being someone who's gone through the recovery process, I was told all the time, the world is not going to change for you just because you're in recovery. These are things that you're going to have to deal with every single day. And while I think it's important to point out things that are wrong about diet culture, I also think that there is a bigger picture message that she could be talking about rather than just pinpointing one store or one chain's
I will product. Say, yeah, I mean, I was ready to defend her when I first saw it pop up on my, you know, Facebook feed as a news article. But when I read it, first of all, I don't like that she specifically went after this one shop that apparently she's been a patron of for a long time. So she's been giving them business for a long time. But for her to out them by name as somebody who has 100 million Instagram followers, I didn't think was necessary. I feel like you could combat the bigger issue of diet culture, diet foods, and specifically even if you wanted to talk about frozen yogurt specifically, without needing to call out this specific business.
Yeah.
You could have done that, you know, had the conversation that you needed to have, and then gone to this business privately and said, you know, maybe this is something you should consider.
Exactly.
I'm Demi Lovato. Maybe this is something that you should consider. And I bet you that would have been far more effective than what she actually did.
Yeah. And she did end up direct messaging with the company on Instagram. And she started talking about maybe having them relabel their things and stuff like that, which, yes, that's great. But again, this is one company and we're talking about she's talking about labeling things like for people with celiac disease,
right,
for people with diabetes. And that's,
I do not like. And it's very ableist sounding to me.
It's ableist sounding, and also like just thinking of it from like an advertisement mind. Like it's not sexy though. That isn't going to make people want to buy it. That's not. And like sugar free isn't really either. But I think that this is just like she's thinking too narrowly. When I feel like this is a broader conversation. And she did this.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you don't know what people's dietary needs are. And so labeling something celiac might not actually, somebody else who maybe has GERD or some other kind
right.
of like.
Right. Yeah.
Like will not necessarily know, okay, so what's in this product? Can I have it or not?
Exactly.
Like, and so I feel like you need to just say what is or isn't in something. And I understand that that can be triggering for her, but I feel like that's a very narrow way to look at it because it is excluding other people who have other problems.
And this is how I feel about using the word, you know, trigger and triggering in general, because it's real. Like that's a word that I've been using since before it's been used on social media. So while that's a thing, I think that people also need to take accountability, talking about accountability, but with themselves, especially if you're somebody that is in recovery for something, while it is so great to be an advocate and to point out the things that you want to see changed in the world, like I said in the beginning, you also have to realize that the world isn't going to change just because of your situation. And I know that that's what makes life so difficult, but those are the things then to bring up with your therapist, things to bring up with your dietitian, things that maybe you need to work through, why that's triggering you, not just focusing on the fact that it's triggering and then going after the thing that's triggering you and saying it's their fault. Sometimes you do have to kind of turn things back into yourself and realize why that's triggering you. Why am I feeling this way in the frozen yogurt store? Well, Demi, probably because, you know, I just watched her documentary series. She talks about the fact that she really never was able to work on her recovery with her eating disorder because it sounds like her old team was still being very restrictive with her diet. So I have so much grace for her, and I totally understand why she did what she did, and I understand her intention. So I'm not here to say, fuck you, Demi Lovato. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff, but I understand her thinking so well, and I hope that for her and for other people, it can be a bouncing point for other conversations about how we label food, because I think in general, that's just a really important thing. Even talking about how they labeled, you know, sugar-free and indulgent items. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the problem, you know?
Absolutely. She did make a point where she made a post about something that Big Chill had posted in the past, and it was a big bucket of food items that they had labeled guilt-free.
Guilt-free, now, yes.
In that respect, I completely understand what she's saying. Like, yes. I don't think that we should label foods to be indulgent. I don't think we should label foods to be guilt-free.
Yeah.
Like, food is food, yep. Right? You know, and I don't think that we should be labeling things in that way. So when it comes to that, I understand. The thing with Demi Lovato is, and we've had this conversation privately, but like, my issue with Demi Lovato is that so often a good message gets lost in really bad wording. Like she doesn't know how to relay her message in a way that makes sense because she's so impulsive. I feel like she gets upset about something. She posts about it right away without really thinking it through.
Yeah. Well, because because she has 10 million followers and she really is just a girl my age who's going through recovery. And I think that having both of those things at the same time is going to mean that she's going to mess up. Because if I were to post something like that, it's only going to reach so many people. If she posts like something like that, it's going to reach so many more. So I think that and I'm not excusing it, but I see it kind of for what it is. Like, she's making the mistakes, trying to do the right thing, having it not work. I really hope that as she is growing healthier, she learns more about that and kind of understands a bit more about how to get her message across. Because, yeah, I think right now she's thinking a lot with her feelings, and that's fine, and yes. I understand it. But I think that she does hopefully have some room for growth in realizing that her platform has a lot more weight to it than she may realize, especially when I hope that she's learned not to go after specific companies like this, especially when, like, if there's other companies that you would want to go after, there's plenty of them. Like, I, for one, have a huge vendetta against places that put calories on their menus. There's millions of them. Mm-hmm. And so talk about that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Right. Talk about the issue as a whole. You know, that's more important than addressing a specific business. But I mean, even
and talking about
that,
how it triggers her, talking about her experience.
I think because
that's important.
Again, I feel like she also, when she released on her Instagram, I think it's still up there, her video of her kind of semi apologizing for the situation, she focused a little bit on her own story, but she also went back time and time again to what they should be doing differently.
Yeah, she's really driving home that she wants to be working with the company to help them make changes for their products, which I'm like, again, that's great, but this is one company and it kind of looks like, oh, I really made a big mistake, so now I'm going to buddy-buddy up with these people to try to clean up the mess I made.
Before you make statements like that, because that is when she said, you need to label it diabetic or you need to label it celiac. Yeah. Before you go and make statements like that, really think it through if that's the thing that you want
to send it to your publicist. Where's her publicist right now?
I get it that like she speaks from the heart and that's part of why people like her. I understand that. Like, people like her because she speaks her mind and, you know, she speaks whatever is on her mind. And like, I understand that. And I have a lot of hope for Demi Lovato. And I understand.
A lot of respect for her. And I have a lot of respect for her story and for her past. I'm not like a big fan of hers. I think she has a beautiful voice, but I've never been like a real...
I'm not a stan, yeah.
No, what's funny... So I went to a Demi Lovato concert when I was... How old was I? I was probably 16 or 17. And guess who opened for her?
Oh, God, who was it?
David Archuleta, after just coming in second in American Idol. Ugh. This was back, now this was like 2008 Christian, or something like that, you know?
Christian pop star.
Yep. And and also, she went into treatment around the same time that I did. So I've followed her more personally than I have professionally. I don't think I follow her on Instagram because I didn't even see any of this stuff. But I have a lot of respect for her and I have I hear nothing but that coming from you too. But I do think it's important to point out when people in any position of influence make mistakes and why that's a problem, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's okay to just say that you don't know it all or that you made a mistake without having to qualify it, you know, with a but.
Exactly.
I feel like she does do that sometimes. And it's like,
and she's, you know, she's on her journey. She's on her journey. Yeah. Hopefully this has been a good learning lesson for her, I hope.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another mini episode. Like Keegan mentioned at the beginning, don't forget to listen to our full length episode where we will be covering everything that you want to know about the Derek Chauvin trial. And if you want to learn more about George Floyd as a person, please check out that episode coming out on Monday, where we will really be able to put our full attention onto that without having to cram it into a mini episode. If there's anything that you would like for us to talk about on the news episodes in the future, go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can chat with the other listeners on the group page and rate and review us on the business page. And if you love us and want to help us out, we greatly appreciate it when you leave us a review and give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all of that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye.